Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Well, we have been playing a ton of Resident Evil Requiem. By we, I mean you.
That's right.
Because I'm too scared. No, just kidding. I'm going to play too, but you are the one that have been fully diving into this game. So you want to share what you think of the game so far. This is not a review because you have not finished
it. I haven't finished it yet.
Game, but you've played a lot of hours of the game. So now we're here to tell you what we think about it so far.
Yes, the long road is coming to a close. Resident Evil Requiem is coming out.
Yeah.
Capcom sent us an early version of the game on Switch 2.
That's
no
right.
less. That was kind of the piece of the puzzle that had been missing for us. We had a chance to see the game, play the game a lot of times thanks to Capcom, but we never actually saw it running on a Switch 2.
Until now.
I have that version. That is the version I have been playing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, it's exciting. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. That's how we're going to do this. We also will have, by the time this video comes out, more videos on Resident Evil Requiem, including some gameplay.
Yes.
On a Switch 2.
Yes, the first hour of the game on Switch 2.
Yes.
You playing through that.
I played that.
Right.
So at this point, we both played the game on Switch 2, but how many hours of the game have you actually played so far?
I just checked my playtime before we came in here, and I'm right at about 10 hours.
Okay.
So I don't know
like how long
what percentage
is.
That is
right, right.
through the game. It does feel like I have gone through a lot.
Yeah.
But there are still new things happening.
Right.
You know, I guess presumably, like if let's assume that this is relatively the same length as an RE game.
Yeah.
Like maybe roughly
25 hours.
Roughly halfway
yeah.
or so. I don't.
Right.
I don't know. Certainly does not feel like it is about to wrap up
right.
at the 10-hour mark. If anything,
okay.
quite the opposite.
Yeah, so you're kind of in like right in the midst
yes.
of the action.
Very much.
But you have played a significant amount in
yes.
which that you've gotten a full, you know, feel of the game.
Oh, yeah.
The other interesting thing for you, which is a bit rare for you, is that you started playing this game when you were on a long flight.
I did.
So you actually played more of this game in handheld mode.
It's really true.
Than normally what you do with a Switch.
Yeah, I'd say about, of those 10 hours, because, yeah, I was traveling, I would say like 3/4 of those have
yeah.
been handheld mode.
Yeah.
And then when I just got back and I was playing it back on TV to get a feel for that. So
right.
yeah, that has been an interesting, that's
it's
not
different for you.
That's not usually how I do it, especially for a game like that.
Yeah.
I want to experience this more
right,
on
right.
the TV. So it's been a bit of a reversal for me.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the game so far? I know you mentioned we have gotten a chance to play this game several times. We've seen sort of bits and pieces, chunks of gameplay. So this is not your first time like playing the game, but your first time really experiencing the game, like from the beginning.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it so far?
The game is awesome so far. I'm really enjoying it. You know, I would say I'm not a diehard Resident Evil fan.
Yeah.
There are some Resident Evils that I have not played, so just so people know my background going
mm-hmm.
into this, but I have really been looking forward to this game, and for the most part, it has really delivered
yeah.
on all of the aspects that Capcom has been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dual playable characters
yeah.
of Grace and Leon, I've been enjoying that.
Right.
The story I've been enjoying. The kind of setting, the trappings of the game has been very engaging. It's been a hard game for me to put down.
Right.
I do think there are some things of just, you know, about that approach that maybe some Resident Evil purists might take some issues with, but for me, coming into it with that background, I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, even playing that first hour of the game, and again, we recorded that, and I was screaming and hollering through it, but I was really impressed with, like, the settings. You know, I haven't seen some of those early settings before, the early setup. All of it is very well done, and you know, I'm kind of similar to you. I'm not like a Resident Evil hardcore fan, but so far I think this one is super well done and it feels very polished. It feels very like story-wise, it feels like it's going to have a very cohesive story. And it is very impressive when you look at it.
Yes.
It's impressive looking, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, playing it on the Switch 2, I think that's a question that a lot of people are going to have.
Yeah.
Is like, so how is the Switch 2 version? And I need to give a lot of caveats to this because people like to, you know, really like to dig into this. It's like,
this is
not Digital Foundry. Like, I don't have the thing that puts it through the graph and tells you the frame rate.
We're not putting that little chart here.
I'm just eyeballing this thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like purely the eye test and my own experience of that. But I've been super impressed with the Switch 2 version. To my eye, like, it has a very consistent, smooth frame rate.
Yeah.
There's not a, you know, I'm sure if you put the two side by side, you'd be like, oh, that's the PS5 and that's the Switch 2. But I'm not feeling like disappointed when I'm playing this. Like, oh, I wish that I had chosen the PS5 version. It's like, no, this is totally standing up, and the added portability is going a long way. I think you know, I mentioned how I played so much of it in handheld mode. I think that side of it holds up really well, where we've seen some games in handheld mode on the Switch 2 resort to like becoming kind of blurry to manage the frame rate.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any difference in that. It's like, it's still very sharp, but still runs really smoothly. So I haven't had that issue to deal with either. In that video we were playing at the very start of the game, there's this scene where you are in a city.
I was really impressed
and
with that scene.
And that immediately showed you, like, oh, this version is, like, legit, because there is a lot going on. Like, there's cars going down the street. It's raining.
There are reflections.
There's all sorts of lighting, reflections, other things, other people moving down the street, and it's like they did not really compromise on this at all.
And
I do imagine this is a complicated game to do because of all of the light. There's like the lighting
effects is so well done.
There's a lot of things where you just got a flashlight or there's light coming through a window that it's dealing with. I've been really impressed. So that said, again, this is not the same as the PS5 version. I don't think people should expect it to be the same as the PS5 version. They obviously had to make some compromises to fit it on this tiny little tablet versus the big hulking PS5.
Right.
There are a few things that I did notice that are, you know, I can't say this is like a flawless version of the game. Like, there are a couple points that I noticed that the frame rate did take a hit when there was like a lot happening on the screen. It's kind of like a place that you would expect for it to happen.
Yeah.
There are some times, mostly during a cutscene, where the camera will get like really close to something and you'll see like, oh, that texture probably wasn't meant to be looked at.
Yeah, I noticed that.
In this level of detail up close.
Right, right.
There's also this interesting thing where when you get an item for the first time, it kind of like pops up and you can like rotate it and look at it. For some reason, I don't know what they're using for those. I think those assets look really bad.
Yeah.
And actually, that was in the last Direct. Like, they picked up the green herb, and it's just, like jaggy,
like, jaggy
all around.
Stuff.
I was like, oh, no. Like, what happened here? But, like, to me, like, it's not really a big deal. It is, like, really amazing that we have this big new game, day and date, on the Switch 2.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I think Capcom just did an awesome job with it.
Yeah. I didn't notice those little things, like you mentioned, when I played the first hour of that game on a Switch 2. But I was so impressed with that scene in the city.
Yes.
Like, that was really unexpected to have that level of detail. And you can, like, walk up to all the buildings, look inside those little diners that are on the side of the street. There's, like, people walking by. The rain's coming down. There's, like, water reflection from cars and lights. And there's a train going by. And I was really impressed.
Could have been a showstopper right from the beginning.
I know.
They couldn't have pulled out. Oh, there's one other thing that I do want to mention. The hair continues to be...
Hair is an issue.
This strange... Yeah. Struggle point for the Switch 2 of like in a lot of the big third party games.
Yeah, we've
like
noticed that in Final Fantasy,
Star Wars Outlaws. Now this, the hair just looks a little like floofy and
it's
just
very pixelated.
It doesn't look right,
especially if it's blonde hair.
Oh,
I've noticed.
Grace and Cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Poor Grace and Cloud. Cloud has, you know, blonde hair, and Grace is like a platinum blonde.
Yeah.
You can see like the way that the strands are.
Right.
It's just very pixelated.
It just doesn't completely. And I think the developer of Final Fantasy, he even got asked a question about the hair. So if you want his technical explanation for hair.
There is a technical explanation for the hair.
Again, like, I don't get hung up on these things. It's not something that's taking me out, but it is something that I did notice. Of like, oh, this is an interesting trend for these games on Switch
2. Same thing with Final Fantasy. I noticed it immediately, but it didn't really take me out of the game.
Right.
So I expect I would have the same reaction with looking at the hair in this game as
well.
But there is definitely a pretty noticeable difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So obviously we talked a lot about, and we played a lot before the game even came out, about, you know, switching between Grace and Leon. This dual protagonist is a thing that is a big part of this game. And it is a thing that can become a bit polarizing because some people are like, well, I don't like this.
Right.
So how has it been so far? Like, what is the percentage of Leon versus Grace? How has those transitional parts between the two characters been?
So I think Capcom said that overall it's going to be pretty evenly
like 50-50,
split. In the
yeah.
first 10 hours that I played, though, I think it's a little bit more Grace than Leon. And
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen in the next, you know, later chunk of the game. So that
yeah.
could balance itself out. I'd say it's maybe like 40% Leon to 60% Grace. So not like super far off.
Sure.
But a little bit heavier on her. And I do think this is the point that for some really passionate RE fans could be a bit divisive.
Yeah.
Because the Leon parts are very fun, but they're not, I wouldn't say that they like top the best moments of Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually surprisingly, Grace is like a really good character, and I think they could have actually built a great game around just her, because she does have this interesting journey of like she starts, she has nothing, and she's
yeah.
terrified, and you do kind of see her gaining confidence.
And
still scared.
Some stuff.
As the game.
She's getting stuff.
Right. She's getting stuff. Like you do get weapons,
exactly.
She does become pretty capable. So I do think there will be some people saying like, hey, you know, fine, this game, you know, this game's cool as it is, but I do kind of wish like she could have carried this game on her own. There's story reasons for why Leon is there
yeah.
as well, and doing things that make a lot of sense to me. So I'm enjoying the switching. When they switch, everybody gets a pretty chunky set of the game to do, so it doesn't feel like it's like, oh, back to
like
her, now back to him, now back to
yeah.
like everything is a very distinct
mm-hmm.
segment. And in the cases of Grace, sometimes they're very long segments.
Yes. Exactly.
Like sometimes like up to like 2.5 hours of like, all right, well, we're just doing her before we move on to Leon.
Yeah.
I have though, you know, that change of pace does bring relief at times though.
I'm so like, scared, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're done with that. Part where
that
I'm running,
was scary.
Where I'm running for my life, or
yeah.
and now Leon's here, and I'm gonna be, you know, blowing some heads off. Great.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm feeling a little bit more powerful.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but
I have found too that the Grace, the transition is what I'm very interested in, and I haven't played too much of the game, but the parts that I have played where there has been transition between Leon and Grace, I think it's very slick. Like, there's always a point where the two see each other.
Yeah, there's intersections
in
the story.
There's an intersection,
yes.
exactly,
yes.
where you're like, okay, well, this is why each person is there
yeah.
and what they're here to do. So you don't feel like Leon, they're not really on, like, parallel paths.
No.
So that I think that's really good in the sense of, like, it still feels like one cohesive game.
Yes.
Even though you're just kind of switching between characters and perspectives.
Right, 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 right. Back to the point about Leon, you know, the game does have some of the elements that RE4 has in terms of like, oh, equip this, you know, modification for your gun.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, oh, you can put charms on guns, which is like a little keychain thing.
Oh, that's cute.
And some of them like look like they're like throwbacks to old games.
Yeah.
It's like a little thing
Easter
of like
egg.
An old character.
Yeah.
I just haven't found yet, and again, could get more of those later. Like up to this point, I think I've only found like one of those modifications.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a whole bunch of guns for him, but I've only found that one modification.
Okay.
So it's like you have this system here, and that was very involved in RE4, the whole like, you know,
modding
guns.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it doesn't feel like they're completely following through on that. Again, we'll have to see in the remainder of the game, and so that's just why I'm saying like it doesn't feel like it hits the heights of the greatest moments of RE4,
sure.
and maybe we shouldn't expect that because that's one of the best games ever made.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that game. It's
yeah.
a different game.
Right.
So
right.
So you mentioned that, you know, playing as Leon can bring a little bit of relief from the really high tension, like true survival horror element of playing as Grace. But would you say this game is scary? Coming from someone that is a chicken?
Yeah.
you know, I have a, you and I'll I both it. Have a pretty low threshold for horror games, and there's a lot of times where we skip horror games because it's truly too scary. Yeah. But is this game, like, too scary?
Yeah, I'm a huge wuss, and that is an interesting thing, is...
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. There are parts in the early part of the game that are... very scary.
Very
like the part
scary.
That you played, the intro where you're investigating the hotel, like
and
that's
that part
that's
in
spooky.
The hospital.
And then
scary.
Then when Grace first ends up in the hospital, and you're getting chased by that big monster that's going to bite your head off, and you have nothing but a lighter to run away. Those are the scariest moments of everything that I have played, and I actually have not felt very scared from then on.
Oh, good.
Which is interesting because I've kind of been bracing for it, but it just kind of hasn't happened. This is not. The horror of Resident Evil 7, where it's like getting under your skin.
That's so scary.
That sense of unsettling, like, I just don't feel, like, at any moment, like,
something creepy and
bad is going to happen.
Yeah,
and in this case,
it's
zombies. Like, it's a guy, you know what to expect. It's a guy who walks slow, who looks gross, who's you know, he's going to bite you. So
they are slow.
Right. I have yet to find a sprinting zombie in the game. So,
oh gosh, they're coming.
So that is scary. Like the settings are creepy and gross and you know.
Definitely
that,
gross.
That makes a lot of sense, but it's not, it's a different kind of scary that I find to be a lot more manageable. And like I said, Grace does become very capable and gets all sorts of stuff and she's
she's so, got a way to help defend herself.
So you do, you know, that monster that they call the girl. A lot of the Grace segments and the part I played, it's like you're dealing that thing is it's not always there,
but there
are stretches where it comes back and you have to deal with it and you kind of can't kill it. But you get more tools to adequately deal with it.
Yeah.
So that it's not the OMG.
Like it's just gonna bite my head off.
I'm just gonna turn this game off kind of scary when you encounter it the first time.
Yeah. When you encounter it the first time, it's terrifying though.
Yeah.
That part of the game is truly terrifying.
Right.
And I feel like, mainly it's because she doesn't have anything to defend herself.
Right.
But even parts that we played later on in the game, she's already becoming more capable of, you know, getting away or fighting back a little bit. I would agree with you that the atmosphere is still very ominous, but it's not at the level of RE7 where I got the nosebleeds.
No.
If you are chicken like us, I think you can give this.
This is not RE7. This is not PT. This is not any of like that.
There's no way. Yeah.
It's kind of more like classic RE, where it's like, the zombie, it's gross, it's going to bite me.
Yeah,
that
but
kind
I can,
of
deal,
stuff.
With it, but I can
exactly.
deal with it.
Exactly,
yeah. How hard is this game? Because I do remember there are parts, especially in the Grace sections, where it was hard. It was really, truly difficult to, if you get mobbed, you're kind of dead. You know, if you get trapped, you're kind of dead. And then there was a bit of run back, which we were talking about before, where it's like, well, the last time I saved the typewriter was a really long time ago. And now I have to make my way all the way back to, you know, where I was. So how's the difficulty been now that you're deeper into the game?
Yeah. So the game does have different difficulty settings. I'm playing on just the standard difficulty. I've been doing fine. I haven't been dying very much. There are definitely some scenarios that are set up to be a real challenge, but I've always felt like I've had the tools to get through them, you know, depending on which character I'm playing as. The game does have the system where you can upgrade, so like you can get more health, you can get more inventory. I found, you know, the inventory, like there's also things that you can find that will give you more inventory. You don't have to necessarily spend those little coins, those tokens to get it. I'd say the most again, it's those encounters with like that the girl where you can get like a one hit kill. Like those, yeah. those are the places where I just made a mistake and it's like, oh, I took the wrong turn.
Yeah.
Again, look at the map. I took the wrong turn. You need to study the map.
You do.
I would love really a little do. A little mini map. They don't have that.
No, they don't want to give that to you. That breaks the immersion.
That would be really helpful if I had
that's
a mini
too
map.
Easy.
I'd say though, like just navigation issues are the mm-hmm. main things.
But it's like the second time around, you kind of know what to do. So you're not dying over and over and over and over and over relentingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
There was one thing that I got a game over on a couple times where it was a Leon sniper sequence where you need to snipe. And for some reason, like I didn't think the game did a great job of like showing me where my targets were and where they were coming from. So I got some, it's like, oh, the objective, you failed the objective. It's like, I didn't even see that. So that was the only point where I got like repeated game overs because mm-hmm. I was like I felt like I could do what it wanted me to do, but I just couldn't see what I was being told to do.
Okay.
So that was kind of
so game design.
That was like a one-time issue. Set piece kind of thing that the game was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's been okay. And yeah. I think you're gonna play the game on
easy,
which is fine. There's all sorts of like aim assists.
Yeah, I need to aim assist. I'm bad.
There
at
seems
aiming.
To be a lot of ways to customize the difficulty.
Have you gotten stuck at all in any of the puzzles?
No.
No, you've been okay.
I've been socketing away.
You've been socketing, you've been crafting, you've been doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean it's nothing groundbreakingly new for Resident Evil puzzles.
Yeah.
And I think there's just kind of some basic tricks to getting through those. So I've been doing okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So you haven't gotten stuck.
No.
All right. What do you think people will like and what do you think people will dislike with this?
So in terms of something, I'll say a pleasant surprise that I had. So when we did our preview based on, playing about 3 hours before, we flagged inventory management, specifically for Grace, as potentially being a pain point. Leon's he's got pockets. He's got those cargo pants.
He's got the vest and the cargo pants.
And for Grace, starts with very limited inventory. And we made the wrong decisions of prioritizing what to upgrade. I'm glad to say, I have really not run into a lot of inventory management issues. So, you can spend these tokens that you get to buy an upgrade, but I don't know if they just weren't in that build that we played or if we just didn't find them. Like, I've found, they're like fanny packs.
The little fanny packs for Grace.
Yes.
So she can just keep adding on.
And when you get one of those, that adds another 2 pips of inventory.
Oh, that's good.
So
very helpful.
Yeah, it's like, it's not to the level of Leon where I just got pockets for days, but it's like...
It's not
I don't feel like I'm dumping things.
That's what
that
happened to us.
That I need, and there are enough plentiful, stashes where it's I don't need this right now. Yeah. I can just put this away.
You can put that in the inventory for a little while.
So that was something that pleasantly surprised me
because
I was
good.
Going into it. I was like, I don't want to. That's going to suck if I'm constantly feeling constrained by the inventory. Something players will dislike. I want to talk about escort missions.
No.
So. Capcom has showed it now. There is this little girl whose name is Emily that you come across, and she's blind. And there are some points in the game where you need her to help you. These are in the Grace segments. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you literally have to pick her up.
Oh, and hold her and like a baby?
Yes, and because she's blind. She cannot see.
Can you just hold her hand?
No. You are carrying her and you are taking her to the objective and you know that when they do that, they're going to throw all sorts of things at you because you're vulnerable. Here come the zombies.
But then do you have to put her down and do some stuff?
So you can put her, there are designated places that are safe that you can put her down. Like it's in the safe room. It's like, here's a couch. It's like, I'll be back later. So.
Voila?
There are not a ton of these, thankfully, but they do exist and I imagine there won't be a ton of fans of these segments because you are completely helpless when you're just running around carrying a small child.
Yeah.
Right. So
you obviously can't use any weapons.
No,
or anything.
You can't shoot. You can't do
it. So what do you do?
You just got to run.
Run away.
You just have to run.
With this little girl.
Yes.
Emily was
again,
scary.
Not a ton of these.
Creepy girls, little girls freak me out.
I mean, Capcom's maxing out on the creepy little girls this year. We got Pragmata. We got this girl.
Well, Pragmata, that girl is a robot.
Well, she's so creepy.
This one is a truly creepy little girl. We saw that little girl in that demo. All right.
Well, you'll learn more about her.
We got to pick up Emily.
You'll learn more about her. Yeah.
All right. So how are you finding the story? Is it compelling? Again, you and I are not like super Resident Evil fans. So we did watch some story refreshers into this that we can get caught up. Obviously, they're bringing back some familiar characters and all, but how are you finding
the story so far? I'll say at this point, like the full thrust of the story has yet to be completely revealed, I think.
Sure.
So this guy, Dr. Gideon, he's in pursuit of Grace for some reason. You know, you're the one I need for something.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what it is. So it's been a lot of that of just like, oh, we just got to escape. We got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, you know, the latter part of the game will give me all of the explanations of why was this, what's going on. I just don't know at this point. It's been interesting. And you know, I really have enjoyed this sort of contextual stuff. Like you pick up a piece of paper and you read like somebody's notes of like, oh, that's interesting background that you could completely skip. I'm definitely going to go, you know, once the game's out, once I've finished it, once it's been out for a while and people who know the series better and look at their perspective
of how
the pieces fit together, because I do imagine there probably is a lot of that stuff that is just over my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I've enjoyed it so far.
You've been following along.
Yeah,
it's not so convoluted for someone that is not a story expert of Resident Evil lore I have no idea what's going on.
It's a pretty simple story, but it is compelling. Like, you get that cutscene at the beginning that you saw in the trailer where Grace's mom gets killed all these years ago, and she seems to be involved in this somehow. There's these guys and these gross guys in these hoods. It's like, who are they?
Yeah.
Why does Dr. Gideon look so messed up? Why is he wearing a snakeskin trench coat? I don't know.
We have a lot of questions
I don't
about
know.
Dr. Gideon.
It's enough to keep me propelling through the game, even though it has not revealed all of the details yet.
Yeah. Okay. Good. If you are playing Requiem and you've never played a Resident Evil game before, do you think you would still enjoy the game? Like if you're just starting fresh into the Resident Evil series, starting with Requiem?
Absolutely. That's like an easy yes. Like, yes, you should play this game. I think it's a pretty good jumping on point. It is Resident Evil 9, so I do imagine some people might be like,
nervous about that.
There's a lot of these. But it does feel like a pretty standalone story. Like, you know, 7 and 8 kind of had its own set of characters, so we're moving on from those.
Right.
You know, there's Grace, and like her mom does have some connections, but it's like you need to
get it right away.
It's not in a way that you need to know. And it's like, Leon, like, there's all sorts of Leon lore that you can learn, but otherwise he's just a guy.
He's a cop.
He's a cool looking hot guy with a gun. That's what you need to know.
And then like you can really explain the characters.
He's revving the Porsche. He's flexing his muscles.
His Porsche is pretty nice.
Yes. He's doing all the hot guy stuff, which is great. That's what you want.
Yeah. And then like, every other character, you can sort of explain their backstory or their connection to the Resident Evil story in like a sentence.
It's pretty simple.
It's like Alyssa Ashcroft, Grace's mom, is a reporter that did a thing.
Yeah.
Leon is a cop from Raccoon City.
It's a very simple premise to get up to speed on. Like, oh no, these experiments went wrong, and now there are zombies. Okay, you're ready to go. So I know there are some games where like you can be hamstrung by not knowing that.
Right.
This is not one of those.
And you can, there's so many like lore videos.
You can
right
get
now.
Caught up easy.
You can get caught easy. It's like 8-minute videos you can watch really quick and just feel like you can jump right
into
it.
Totally.
So I think that's really good. And so don't let the 9 like freak you out and keep.
And I mean, good on them for kind of, it's Requiem. It's not necessarily 9.
That's right.
So good on them
for
not scaring people off.
I think people do get a little nervous when that happens.
Yes.
So like we said, we will have more on Resident Evil Requiem in our spoiler cast. That's going to be our March spoiler cast.
Yes, coming soon.
Coming soon, which is exciting. And that will be where we go really deep on everything in the game, And then we would have obviously completed the game at that point to give our like final
thoughts
and review.
And a score.
And a score, because we always beat our games and before we give it a score, which is going to be really fun. That's going to be a really good spoiler cast. I'm excited about that. But in the meantime, I think it's pretty safe to say that this is a must play.
Yes. So far, it's getting a big thumbs up from me.
This is a must play. Yes. Thumbs up. And if you want to play it on a Switch 2 for whatever, if that's
go for
your platform of choice.
You should do that.
You should 100% do it because it looks really good. Yes, there are some little things. No, this is not Digital Foundry, so we don't have the graphs.
No, Switch 2 is not a PS5.
No, Switch 2 is not a PS5, so it's not going to look exactly the same. But so far, you've experienced the game for, 10 plus hours in both handheld and docked. Mm-hmm. mode, and it holds up. It looks good.
Yes.
You're impressed. It runs well on a Switch 2.
So it took the words out of my mouth.
There you have it. There you have it. That is our current thoughts on Resident Evil Requiem. We'll have more on this game later, but hopefully you learned something or you're getting excited for this game. And let us know in the comments if you're planning to play and where you are going to be playing this game. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye!
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.